We might begin by posing the question that Roman lawyers used to pose: cui bono, who profits by the system? Well, a number of scholars have pointed out that a great benefit of the system instituted by Cleisthenes is that it regularizes the raising of an Athenian army. The Athenian army is raised by tribal contingents. If you create these 10 tribes that incorporate everyone in Athens, you have a very well-organized muster whereby, at a moment's notice, all of the available men in Athens can be enlisted, put into the field. The regiments work that way, the officers are selected on a tribal basis, and so forth. So this is the military argument, that the Cleisthenic reforms are designed to create a more regular and more reliable muster. The difficulty that I have with this particular theory is that it runs the risk, in my opinion, of confusing the results of the Cleisthenic reforms with the intentions of the Cleisthenic reforms. Yes, it did result in a more reliable muster and an extremely efficient Athenian army that fought very well and successfully hereafter. But whether that was what Cleisthenes had in mind as he began the reforms, if that is what he was planning to begin with, we can't say. I don't think that such an explanation, for example, would explain the extreme complexity of the Cleisthenic reforms. Let me illustrate this with an example. In one of the tribes created by Cleisthenes, its coastal third lies in the northeast of Attica. And in that region, there are four villages that go together. They're located near each other. They sent a religious embassy to Delphi every year. They clearly thought of themselves as being a small corporation, four villages that were closely affiliated. In the Cleisthenic reforms, three of these stayed together as part of the third of one tribe. One of them was cut off and was attached to a completely separate tribe. Now, I don't see what sense that makes if your concern is with raising military musters. It would make more sense, in fact, to keep with the existing units that were already in place on the ground. A second theory that is often used to explain the Cleisthenic reforms is an interesting theory. It's the ancient version of a conspiracy theory. Cleisthenes was a member of the Alcmaeonid family. According to some historians, the reforms of Cleisthenes were designed to increase the influence and the power of the Alcmaeonid clan in Athenian politics. How on earth can we know this? Well, the way the argument is built is as follows. If you look at every reference that we have to an Alcmaeonid in subsequent history and find out what deme he came from, since we can allocate demes to thirds and thirds to tribes, we can then say this man's family was located in such and such a tribe. If you do this with the Alcmaeonids, based on some evidence which is not as firm as we might like it to be, it looks as if the Alcmaeonids, as a clan, as a blood-related family, were scattered across three different tribes in the Athenian democracy. Aha! Say the conspiracy theorists. This tends to demonstrate, then, that Cleisthenes was attempting to insinuate Alcmaeonid influence across three tribes and therefore to make the Alcmaeonids three times more powerful. Instead of being powerful in one tribe, powerful in three. There's a fairly obvious weakness in that interpretation as well, and that is this. If you take a given clan, relatives, cousins, uncles, and nephews who are all willing to help each other and operate together, if you spread their influence across three tribes, you may in fact be diluting their influence in the broader democracy because you will be reducing the numbers of that family in any given tribe. It's not at all clear that the Cleisthenic reforms would have benefited his own family. It's not demonstrable in later history, and it doesn't particularly make sense with the evidence as it stands. So I don't believe that the Cleisthenic reforms were primarily to change the Athenian army, nor were they designed to make his family the Kennedys of the Greek world, as they've sometimes been likened to, a powerful family with a strong power base in one region. No. I think there's something else going on here, and this goes back to certain themes that we've been talking about in the lectures so far.